Accession number 13717, Lieutenant Colonel Charles G. Reel 1.
Lieutenant Colonel G, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Colonel G?
I was born on August the 18th, 1897, in Castletown Vicarage, near Sunderland, County Durham.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a curate in Sunderland and married the eldest daughter of Colonel Briggs, who lived in Hilton Castle, and who had the advowson of the church at Castletown, which he largely built, I think. And so he gave the vicarage to my father when he married. I think he got 250 a year.
How many were there in your family? Did you have any brothers
and
sisters?
Well, my mother was one of 12, and my father was one of 13. So there wasn't all that amount of spare money for us when we were young.
How many did you have in your family?
I had three brothers, and then in 1916 my mother died. She had disseminated sclerosis, and she died in 1916, and my father remarried and had two more children.
Now, what do you remember of your childhood in Castletown?
Very little, except we, after, when my mother was fit, we went to Sunderland for parties, and we went to the castle for parties, and we got mushrooms for the castle, and we found plover's eggs for them. We also found plover's eggs, which we sold to a shop in Sunderland for sixpence each, which was quite a lot of money. And we bicycled and found our own amusements in the garden, a big garden, and a paddock. And we disliked the village, who disliked us. They talked a different language and punctured our bicycles on purpose. And so we had various fights with them. And
why did you have this antipathy? Why didn't they like you?
We lived about a quarter of a mile away and talked a slightly different language and didn't go to the local school. My father taught us until I was 8 and my brother was 9 when we went to a prep school. By that time my mother got pretty lame and we were cut off pretty well from Sunderland and visitors. In any case, after a very short time, the road to the house was unusable. So we were almost cut off anyway.
Why was that?
Well, holes in the road.
So you went to a prep school in 1905?
Corchester in at Corbridge in Northumberland.
And what do you remember about your prep school?
Oh, a lot. I was very hungry. And it wasn't a very good school. There were some things about it were marvellous. We went to all local meets. The hounds, to all local shoots, and I saw we went for log walks, and I saw two foxes killed as a boy of 10. I was a bit good at maths, which was taught by the headmaster, but Latin teaching never was appalling. When I could do 28 lines, we only said 4 in school.
How many boys went to the school? Was it a large group?
About 30 or 40, quite small. Went on after the war, but has died.
And how many masters would they have?
How many?
Masters.
Teachers. I don't know. But we had one that was sacked for beating us and breaking sticks on us, and he wasn't allowed to. Another was taught us to thieve at the local bicycle shop, and he didn't live long. But... some of it was very enjoyable, but it was pretty rough.
Well, you say you were hungry. Were conditions fairly Spartan then?
Oh, I had worms in the tummy, I don't know which. But I do remember being very hungry, and I think everybody else was. We had traps all around the grounds to catch rabbits, which they'd cook for our tea. And so we did live a country life, and we collected birds, eggs, and shot squirrels, and we all had catapults, and some things were excellent. But
what were the dormitories like?
Moderate.
Was there much bullying there?
There was a bit. There was one big spasm of bullying and one spasm of immorality, and somebody got sacked in charge of a dormitory. But on the whole, the undermasters, I think there were three masters, the undermasters were not very capable or very clever.
What form did the bullying take? What sort of thing went on?
Well, two people simply bossed everybody, and it got stopped somehow.
Did they pick on you?
Not particularly. I was lucky because I was so small and young that I escaped. But they would pick on somebody, or pick on lots of people.
And how serious was the immorality? I mean, would you know at that age what was going on?
How serious was
it? You said there was an outbreak of immorality. What did you mean?
Oh, well, somebody in charge of the little dormitory had everybody lying naked for a long time, night, and went along and talked to them or watched them or fiddled or something. It was spotted, and we all bullied the bloke until he was sacked.
Now, you say it was mixed academically. I mean, terrible at Latin, good at
maths. Maths was well taught. At least I found it well taught. But from my point of view, everybody had Master saying, as G minor is the only one that knows what we're talking about, we'll start again at the beginning of the book. And that didn't help me get a scholarship. Sent me in for a scholarship to Shrewsbury when I was 12. I could only do three questions. I simply got nowhere. I didn't find any difficulty with that, all Latin. And the Latin master went away to get a degree, and the dud came in his place. So I didn't get any farther than that.
When did you leave Corbridge?
Went there in 1906. I left when I was 12.
1909.
Yes. Went to Durham School. My father had a scholarship.
You're sorry, I missed that.
I think my brother had a scholarship, but I got one the next year.
Is this the Durham Grammar School? Or?
No, well, it was called the Durham Grammar School, but we never called it that ourselves, Durham School. And there, all the emphasis was on games, particularly football and rowing, and cleverness or anything, just idled for a year or two.
So, were you any good at games?
I was fairly good, yes. By enormous patience and shooting, couldn't hit anything at first, but made myself as good as everybody. I was very small, played fives a lot, was promising a rugger, but being very small was neglected until I distinguished myself. I played in all the school matches but one, and was picked number three for every match but one, and then not in the team. Cricket, I got my colours 2 years, and last year I lost my form because the coach had gone, nobody, no master interested, and I got cured in the last match. Somebody, having given me a bat for breaking mine, said, "Why are you doing so badly this year?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Can I tell you?" And he told me I was standing with my legs too far apart. Put them together and made 250 the next day. And
You were a batsman then, not a bowler.
Yes, I made myself a bowler in later life, which is a good thing. One called three for naught.
So, although you enjoyed sports.
I enjoyed it.
But you say that academically you stagnated a bit.
Yes, I was very bright in some ways, but I got a bit sullen-headed, I think, because I thought I'd get 100% of the maths exam and didn't do well at all. There was a flaw in my arguing, as there is in nearly all my games. And I know what it was in cricket now.
Was maths still your main interest academically?
No, I wasn't. I just found it easier. And at Durham, exams, I would get work hard, do four great and look around and find no relativity. So I just put my hand in the pocket. The last thing I wanted was to show off.
It was a games orientated school. Were people who did well bullied at all? Or was it just.
Oh, the games would carry you anywhere. And it did me, because I became cox in the third crew, being small. I was a bad cox, but they had to have somebody small. I got my house colours, and so I was respected.
You'd row on the weir?
On the weir, yes. Wonderful course. You had to be about two legs ahead in the middle if you were going to win. All those twists. But very exciting. And we won a heat in the regatta when I was coxing. And we carted off to an hotel, and all the crew had an egg in something or other. And they asked what I wanted. I didn't know what I wanted. I had a glass of port. I didn't cock so well the next round. I took us through about 1 foot of water. And we were beaten anyway, so it didn't matter.
So that was, you think, what about, was there an officer's cadet unit or any
it
sort of.
It started at the war.
It
was going to start without the war, but it only started when the war started.
I'll come back to that then. So. You'd gone there in 1909, so you'd be getting quite senior when the war started. What were your plans what did your father plan for you to do when you left Durham?
Oh, I hadn't any idea. The only thing I knew of, most of our uncles had been in the Indian Civil Service, and I didn't like heat, so I was at a loss about that. And I knew it was very difficult to get into the Indian Service. People used to get first class at Oxford and Cambridge and go to Crammers to get coached. We lived very much in the country and very much alone, and I knew no girls.
Were you boarding at Durham School?
Yeah, boarded, both of them.
You've been boarding since you were a little boy of eight.
Yes.
Were you lonely at first?
Fairly lonely, I think. And at Durham, I was in a house where there was old-fashioned bullying. I have, in fact, been roasted by the. I mean, all of us were.
What do you mean? What would they do?
Hold you down in your seat next to the fire until your trousers were brown, almost. I mean, and a real sort of Tom Brown school day stuff. And a painful thing, pile on the floor like that. An amusing one. The fags made a scrum, and the non-fags jumped on it. And it collapsed. And I, being the smallest, was put in as the ball. The whole idea was to get the scrum to collapse. Things like that, called ragging, which was ragging, but it was also bullying, because a lot of it was very painful and kept people in their place. And the senior boys in the house were not present, they were in studies. So it was young people that were not old enough to be responsible in charge. But it all stopped while I was there.
How was it stopped?
No, it just grew, I don't know. Somewhere I didn't stop it. My brother, elder brother, may have helped, but it was his generation and stopped it. But before he was head of the house, I said, dare say the war stopped it.
Now, did you, as you were getting older, did you see any signs of the war approaching before 1914? I mean, would you take any interest in what was going on?
I think we were warned shooting was going on. Lord Roberts had something or other. I think we were warned that it might happen. I didn't know any modern history then. I mean, anybody studying modern history ought to have known about Germany. I don't think I had any. The Corps, I think it was mentioned in the Corps, there might be a war soon. The Corps was fairly important, and I became a corporal in that.
I thought you said that only started when the war.
Yes, but I was there 2 years of the war.
So, what do you remember about when the war broke out? Do you remember the day, August the 4th?
Yes, I remember the day, and I don't. I remember things like the Titanic disaster much more earlier.
I remember
quite a lot of boyhood, tremendous interest in Japanese-Chinese war, and Japanese-Russian war, and so on, the Russian fleet being sunk twice, and so on, the two fleets. Just from boyhood on, immediately, the Boer Wars, my uncles are in, and I overlapped a little.
So what about the day war broke out? What do you remember?
Don't remember that. I mean, don't know particular memories.
What about at the school? I mean,
school,
how did it affect
it shattered the
school
straight away, because they went back to school. A number of senior boys had left lying about their ages and so on. I couldn't have done that because I looked so young anyway. I mean, it would have been absurd. And I was too small and too weak to cope with rifles, probably.
You'd be 17 at the time.
1914, yes. I was in the 4 years.
Now, so the first thing was that some people had gone off to war. Were they heroes to you that remained?
Yes.
How did you feel about
that? They came back as old boys wearing uniforms and so on and played against the school, because only school matches went so easy. And we had to give them tea and so on, and got to know them very well, and got a little knowledge of life outside school. I was just, everybody, I think, is eager to get into the army.
Why were you so eager to get in there? Can you analyse why you were keen?
Well, you don't want to miss what everybody's doing, largely, I think. And the people that did miss were just not quite old enough to get in. A lot of them became pacifists later, because they missed the boat and they felt different. And at Cambridge, I went to after the war, there was the non-war people. And
we'll come on to that, because we'll follow you through. Were you very patriotic at the time, would you say?
Yes, I think I was always patriotic. Brought up, it's British Empire, and very patriotic, I think. And you asked about work. Somewhere my house tutor said to me, you'll have to make up your mind now whether to try for a scholarship in mathematics or in classics. And I took to classics.
What made you decide that?
I don't know quite. There were more people doing it, and I had a suspicion, I think, that a maths was a bit phony somewhere, and I did with him privately. I got a headache in the first time I did higher certificate. The school certificate didn't exist, I don't think. We didn't do it anyway. First time I did higher certificate, I failed in maths. I had a headache for the arithmetic and worked things out wrong. I got 30 instead of 33%. 30%. I got 80% in the other two, algebra and geometry. But they failed me because of my headache. And so in order to pass, I did additional maths next year. And statics and dynamics. I marked out of 200. I only did the statics. I got 98 out of 100. But I had extra time. But I was taught it by my house tutor, and so summer about page three, he couldn't do it. And I couldn't do it. And we floundered on. And then, fortunately, at the end of the Easter term, he said, take the book home, Lone in Statics, and look through it. I looked through it and never made another mistake. It just fell into place, dead easy. And I lost 2 marks on drawing.
Now, when we mentioned, you said the officer's cadet corps started up.
Yes,
that would be in 1914, after the war broke out.
Yes.
How did they go about setting it up? Was it compulsory?
Oh, yes, I think so. Well, some people, yes, it was compulsory, I think. Everyone went on to the war, it would be.
How was it organised?
Well, we didn't have any rifles, they couldn't be got. So we had some awful thing that, I don't know what it was called, no, I've forgotten. But it didn't work like a rifle. But something to drill with, anyway. And one really just drilled and went for route marches. And route marches are no use for military steps to keep them strong, or they just saw feet or something. But nobody knew anything. And the masters in it had to learn. And so.
Did you not have anyone attached to you from the DLI to train?
I don't think so. I suppose we got help somewhere, because the masters wouldn't know anything. And I can't remember what it was. I've got photographs of it, and I was a corporal, and then...
So basically it was just drill?
It was nearly all just drill and route marches.
Was it at, just out of interest, was it at light infantry pace? Because you were
not light infantry pace. I didn't know there was such a thing. Then at the right time, I joined the Lord Derby scheme. Really.
I'll come. So that's in 1916, isn't it? When that was set up. Now, so you were doing this. Did you get uniforms straight away for the cadet unit?
Yes, fairly quickly.
What uniforms did they issue?
I don't know. I've got pictures of them.
just normal khaki. And did the training develop over the 2 years?
Not much. I don't think so.
So it was drill and.
I knew the drill fairly well.
What about rifles? Did you ever get rifles?
No, not while I was there.
Now, I understand you joined Lord Derby's scheme while you were at school in 1916.
That was partly to show that I was a volunteer, not being called up, and largely to get the day's pay and ration allowance, gave to 5 and 6 or something, and others were doing it. And they called me up when they wanted to. And actually, when I was told to complete my course at school, it would take me up almost up to 19, and they wanted people educated. And then my papers for a commission got lost, so I was in fact called up under the some scheme. And I spent one day as a private in my uncle's regiment, four-star light infantry.
Now, when did that happen?
Somewhere about the end of August, I suppose, beginning of September. I can't remember exact dates, but I was only there one night, I think, or two, and went home.
What do you remember of that?
I made quite friendly with somebody, and surprising my colonel, who was my godfather, the best salute he'd ever had in his life, and I had a little scandal about him, I think. But
did you feel aggrieved because you tried to volunteer, you know?
Oh no, I didn't do it. I was a little aggrieved, but it only lasted a day or so. And I felt a bit of the loss, but I was glad it had happened afterwards. I'd been sort of just a glimpse of life from below, and it's very important, I think, to get it. A lot of officers didn't.
What sort of things did you learn from it? Do you remember now?
No, nothing much.
So, how did you get out then? You were only there, you came home on leave, or?
Came home on leave, and then went to Harvard College, Oxford, the 4th Officer Cadet Battalion, and nearly all the officers. I was very lucky to have a marvellous platoon commander who was I don't know what rank he was, but Mr. Watley, Major Watley, that was in command there, saved the life of my platoon commander, who had been incredibly badly wounded and shell-shocked. I gave him the soft job. He didn't drill us. He used to come out and watch us on a stick while the sergeant drilled us. We hardly knew him, but I, being a corporal, was in charge of a section of people that had been in various OTCs. They were all older than me, but they hadn't been corporals. And
so that was the value of your experience?
The platoon commander frequently said to me, sent for me and said, Professor Oman wants four cadets for tea on Sundays. Would you take your three of your friends? So I got to know the Omans. I went there twice, and the daughter, who's now a professional historian, used to serve tea and so on, which was fun. And other similar things. I was a member of the Oxford Union, and I had a glimpse of Oxford life, and life was, and despised the Air Force, especially they were getting so much money, and all the people in Oxford that had left their regiments to join the Air Force were drunk every night. I went to the theatre every week in winter. It was a marvellous life. But
what about your studies? You were doing classics, were you?
Well, I was learning to be an officer. But it was hard work at the beginning because I'd never touched a rifle before.
So you weren't actually studying at Oxford, you were just in the cadet battalions?
Yes.
So how did they start with your training then?
Well, drill, we did little drill, but there must have been 100 people or more, and they were all sergeants back from France. And the first thing was the rifle, and I found it appalling business doing a rifle. And it wasn't very clever. We had exams every month or week or something, every fortnight. But the rifle was rather queery of me.
Would you mean shooting? Actually,
no, just the names of the parts and how many that's left the others and there are in it. And I've forgotten it now, but I had to learn it. And drill was a bit awkward at first, but I had to practice right. I had to learn musketry later again after the war to teach it to boys.
Did you actually go on the ranges?
No,
with the
I don't think so.
So it was just theory?
No, we didn't. I know, because I did before I went to France. But
That's one thing you did. What are the aspects of training?
The whole detail about the rifle, I found an awful sweat. I'll read all kinds of lectures and things. And
what sort of topic?
The first exam, I was nearly always about top because I'd come from school and I was fairly clever and I always knew what they were going to ask anyway.
What sort of topics did they cover then in your training?
The most striking one was the world expert on Napoleonic strategy or something, marvellous lecture. That came in because I got to the ninth DLR. Bradford made us all write an essay on the attack. And I quoted Napoleon that even though I didn't remember Napoleon, I made it up.
So strategy, what about tactics?
Tactics was well done, I think.
How did they do it?
Ooh.
Was it just lectures or would you go out lectures. Or did you go out in the fields and practice?
A bit. But mainly I haven't thought about it since. Trench warfare wasn't done in any detail. I know when I was commissioned, I felt I knew nothing. Went home for 3 days.
What about things like man management or things like that? How to deal with the men?
I don't think that was done at all.
Military law?
I don't think so.
How long did the course last? How long were you at Oxford.
Six months, I think.
So you were commissioned about February 1917, is that right?
End of February, about. A few days leave, and then we went to...
Did you have any choice of regiment, before you were commissioned?
I was always 9th DLIO, because I'd got a colonel of the 2nd Line 9th or something, rather to sign, I think.
So that's what you were always going to be commissioned into?
I didn't know any better, I mean, it just happened. My plumber from school had done it and told me that he would accept me.
Could you just explain who plumber was for them?
Well, he comes in the Bradford book, he's written about 4 pages in it.
And who was he?
He was a friend of mine at school, same house, almost the same age, about 2 months older. They have to turn or two before I did. And I didn't know I was joining the army, but I did.